Okay, I now want to present to you Glenn Crosby. Glenn is from Texas, but he doesn't really talk funny, so it'll be okay. And I'm not sure who's going to do it, whether he is or he's going to introduce a speaker, but we're going shopping, so I can hardly wait. Glenn, are you with us?
Well, I am with you, and we're ready to go shopping.
All right.
First of all, I want to welcome everybody to this hour, the 4 to 5 hour to every afternoon, and we're going to explore different topics each day. So it will not be a continuation of the topic the day before. But today we're going to talk about shopping, and more specifically, we want to learn something about acquiring the goods and services that we need using non-visual techniques. And so I'm sure some of you have already experienced a whole lot of those kinds of things, but we have the privilege of having a person with us, I hope, who is very, very, very good at finding the goods and services that she needs. I have with us this afternoon a very good friend, Liz Wise Carver, who is the coordinator of the National Federation of the Blind Newsline Texas program, and she also does a lot of volunteer work in other areas of our organization. I know that she did a lot of volunteer work this summer during our Summer Bell programs. We had three of them. I'm not sure how many of those she volunteered to do, maybe all three, I don't know. But I do know that she knows how to shop, and I know that she knows how to find the things that she wants and needs. So I would ask you to give attention to Liz Wise Carver. So Liz, take it away.
Hi, thank you, Glenn. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me here. And Glenn is right. I do know how to shop, and you know, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, just depending. So I appreciate him asking me to come and chat with everybody. And I did notice that you guys are going to have some similar kind of related discussions throughout your agenda. I saw that you guys were talking about clothing and perhaps clothing shopping as part of that. And I also saw that there's going to be some tech discussion about using grocery apps. So we may kind of touch on some of the same topics, but hopefully I can give you some things to think about as far as assistive tech and alternative techniques and just ways of kind of figuring out what you want to shop for and how you can get that accomplished. So I want to start by kind of telling you a little bit of a shopping revelation that I had. I was born legally blind. And I, at the time, they said I had a good deal of vision, which I've learned I was pretty dang blind. I didn't really have a good deal of vision, but I was about 2200 when I was younger. And so because of that, I was in mainstream public schools and I didn't get any kind of blindness skills training like cane travel or braille and assistive tech. I was pretty much just doing things with my bit of vision that I had left, which can become stressful. So when I graduated out of college as a young adult, I, you know, knew that I needed something else. I knew that I didn't really feel confident being able to manage my own household or live on my own or shop for the things that I needed successfully. And I didn't know how to do that. And thankfully, I got a new vocational rehabilitation counselor who was blind himself, and he told me about the Louisiana Center for the Blind. And so at age 23, I packed up and went to North Louisiana to attend the LCB 9-month adult training program. And that's a really rigorous program where you wear learning shades if you have any residual vision so you can focus on using non-visual skills. Well, part of that process, you are assigned a student mentor. So somebody who's been at the center longer than you have, they can kind of help you out. They can help maybe when you get there, take you grocery shopping or help you learn the layout of the apartment complex and how to walk to classes. And my student mentor was Danielle. And I came to Louisiana and it is super duper hot and humid there. And I didn't have any kind of shorts and I needed new sneakers and all that good stuff to do cane travel. And she said, well, why don't we go over to Walmart and check out what we can find there? And I'm thought, okay, I've never gone shopping with a blind person before. I've always had to wait around for, you know, my sighted sister or a friend that would go and I could take sighted guide with. So how's this going to work? But we had our canes and we got a cab and went to Walmart, got dropped off and went in and went to customer service and got someone to, you know, read us what was on the tags and find the sizes. But the thing that really impressed me was that Danielle walked over to the different shelves and racks of clothing and said, oh, check this out, Liz, this dress is cute. It's got ruffles in the sleeves and it's got like a waistband and it comes down to about the knee. Or, you know, oh, look, there's some shorts over here. Oh, these are kind of short. You don't know, you don't want those, blah, blah, blah. And she was doing that as a totally blind person. And I realized, oh, well, duh, you can pick up and examine and touch the clothing. And that was, that sounds very simple, you know, touch things if you're blind. But for some of us maybe who grew up with some vision or for folks who have lost vision later in life, that might be something that you need to work on. I had grown up being told my whole life, look with your eyes, not with your hands. And I did not realize how much I'd internalized that until I got training on non-visual skills. And it was very freeing. And I found that you can collect so, so much information just by touching and examining items. You don't have to only be able to look at them visually to understand what they are and get an idea of if it's something you would like or that would feel comfortable or the type of food that you're looking for. There's a lot of information that you can get through other methods than only seeing. So I hope that gives you something to think about if you were like me and thought that there was no way to successfully shop if you weren't able to have someone sighted there telling you what everything was. So Glenn has asked me to chat with you guys about both in-person shopping and online shopping. And so I'll kind of probably go back and forth between some of the different things that you can shop for and just give some tips. And if you guys have questions and thoughts, please feel free to say something if you'd like. It doesn't have to just be me talking at you guys. I want you guys to get as much out of it as possible. So for grocery shopping, that was one that I also learned how to do at the Louisiana Center. I'd been grocery shopping, of course, but I was typically with a family member and they were doing the majority of the picking and the finding and sorting. But you can do your own shopping. There's a couple of broad ways to do this in person. So you can go to customer service in your grocery store. It's usually toward the front of the building once you come into the entrance, and you can just ask them, hey, could someone please help me do some shopping? And you sometimes will have to wait a moment. Usually I haven't had to wait too long. Places like Walmart, now they will take longer, but usually at your grocery store, you're not going to have to wait terribly long. And someone can come out and pull the cart. Usually what I like to do is have them pull the front of the cart, and then I will hold on to the handle and walk behind the cart so that they can guide us through the aisles and you can tell them what you are looking for. You can get very specific. You know, it doesn't have to be you handing over a list and them going through it, although you could do that if you wanted, but you can clarify. You can say, hey, let's start over at produce. I want to look at, you know, broccoli and I need to check out bell peppers and I want some really green bananas so they don't go bad. So you can tell them what you're wanting and be specific. You also want to actually handle the food yourself. That's another thing I didn't really do when I was shopping with family before I was more independent. You know, I just let them plunk it in the cart and assume it was what we needed, right? Check out the actual items. It's okay to touch things. You can get a lot of information on your produce by touching it. You can tell, for example, I know I mentioned bananas. If you feel of them you might feel that they are more soft, and that can mean that they're riper. It might also mean that they have spots on them and you don't want that. If they're more firm when you squeeze them, that can mean they're greener, and that might be what you're looking for. You can also do interesting things, like if you check out apples, if you feel on the bottom of the apple, the red apples typically have the little nodules, like four little nubby nodules on them. And the green apples are usually smooth, like your Granny Smith green apple. You can do that with bell peppers. All sorts of different ways of telling what your different produce items are and if they're good or bad. And maybe you just want to check out the broccoli and say, hey, I need a bigger head of broccoli. Could you help me find a larger one? So it's always a good idea when you're working with your reader to check out the food items yourself as well and ask questions. The funniest one, oh my goodness, this was in Louisiana. The funniest one that we had happen, even though we were checking, was we wanted to go, they had a bin of pick five meats where you could pick five meats and it made it a certain percentage off. And we were looking for pork chops. And we had a gentleman that I suppose he might have been illiterate. I'm not certain, but we had quite a time with it. But we'd asked for pork chops and he found a package and we said, these don't quite feel like pork chops. Are you sure these are pork chops? Oh, yeah, these are pork chops. And we kind of felt of them and they felt a little bit off. We're like, okay, well, it must be pork chops. And we got them home and they were pig's feet. So occasionally things like that can happen. And that was a good lesson for me. That made me think, okay, if you have a shopper that's assisting that's not super sure of what they're talking about, you may want to take other means of checking it. Now we have things like iPhones and Android phones where you could, you know, potentially use Aira or Seeing AI and look at that and see if it had a label on it that you could discern as well. Speaking of meats, one thing I learned is you can feel of the package of meat and determine things like if this is a boneless pork chop or if it's a bone-in pork chop. You can kind of gently touch the top of the plastic and feel where there's a hard spot for the bone. You can even count how many pieces are in it. Because often, you know, if you buy a family package of chicken breast, there may be four and maybe you were needing six. So you can actually touch it and make that decision. Lots of the items are going to be placed in the same areas, such as all of your produce is going to be together. Those are on the outside walls. Typically your meat section will be together on the outside wall. Your dairy will be all together in the outside edges. And then the aisles are where you're going to have all of your boxed and canned items that are sometimes a little harder to discern. Although I have a friend who is very talented at telling different types of boxed items. With the boxed and canned items, where they get really specific, it can be helpful to know things like the color of the package sometimes. So, you know, if you're looking for like Splenda, I believe the Splenda comes in the yellow packets. And if your reader or assistant is having trouble finding it, you can give them that information and that can help them do it and be able to find them. I've known folks who have used readers and Aira, which is a virtual assistance program where you're having an agent on the phone and they're using your camera to see what you're looking at and they can give you information. Folks who are shopping either with Aira or in person, sometimes they'll have a picture of the grocery item on their phone that they can show them and say, hey, it looks like this one. So that can be a good strategy. You'll want to have a way to have a list. I have gone to the store, especially when we've done huge orders. I helped the Louisiana Center with some of the youth service programs and was shopping for like all of the counselors and kids. So we'd have huge lists. And I would take a Braille list and then also print out a print list to give to the shopper so we could both be looking at it at the same time. And then with the Braille list, once we found the item, they might mark it out with a pen. And I would just scratch out the first couple of letters in Braille so that I knew we'd already found that item. Let's see, what else with grocery shopping? Those are some of the major tips I can think of as far as grocery shopping. This morning we were talking about cane travel, and it was mentioned that you use open palm when you're in larger spaces. For shopping, you'll typically want to use the pencil grip. And this is so you can keep your cane closer to you. And so you can navigate around things. Pencil grip is good for navigating around spaces and locating things like your actual shelves and aisles. And also with pencil grip, since it's more vertical in front of you, you can put your arm out a little bit further, and it can do things like catch the shelf or the clothing rack. The clothing rack is a big one. It can get those clothing racks that are kind of coming up to face or chest level so that you don't run into those yourself. So that's very helpful. I mentioned with the cart that when I'm using an in-person assistant to do shopping, I'll ask them to pull the cart in front of me, and then I hold on to the cart in the back. If I'm shopping myself, sometimes maybe if I'm actually just know where the items are, or if I'm using Ira, or if I'm just helping by pulling the cart while someone else is looking at other things, I walk in front of the cart and I pull it with my free hand, and then I use my cane and pencil grip out in front of me. So that is a few tips and tricks for grocery shopping. You know, main thing, just don't be afraid to touch things and ask questions. You can get a lot of information that way. And you can even do what we call 7-Eleven shopping, where if you know where the items are, run in there and get them yourself, you know. Lots of things that, like the milk, for example, the whole milks will always be put on the same shelf together most of the time. Anytime I've seen them, they have been. And it's pretty easy to find things like eggs. You can learn, like in your local convenience store, if you have one near you, we always knew where the Orange Crush was. So we could just run in there and grab some Orange Crush and go up the aisle and kind of touch the candy bars and say, oh, this is a Hershey bar. Let's get one of those. And then be able to do that even without a shopping assistant. So you really can do that in a way that's the best for you. You can do it independently and with assistance, which is still independent. There's a wonderful speech by Dr. Jernigan, who was president of the National Federation of the Blind some years back, called The Nature of Independence. And I'd really recommend that everybody listen to that at some point, because it gives you an idea of, you know, if I'm using a shopper, am I being independent? And I would definitely say yes, because you are using the tools that are available to you, and you're getting what you need in the most convenient way for you that is not inconveniencing others. So I definitely recommend checking out that speech at some point. Okay, so that is in-store grocery shopping. I want to talk a little bit about my experience with online grocery shopping. So because of the pandemic, a lot more people have been doing online shopping than even before the pandemic. And many of us, that was the only way we could get groceries for some time before the vaccinations. And they're still being used, and now they're becoming even more available. You can do a couple of different types of online grocery shopping. There's straight up delivery services, such as Instacart or Shipt, and even things like Uber Eats and Favor and some of the other ones, where they will collect the groceries from the store that you choose and deliver them directly to you. And then there is also what you would call click and pick up. A lot of grocery stores are offering that, where you can select your groceries online. And then you would drive up, you park outside of the store, you give them a call and say, we're in parking spot B. And then they will come out and load them into your car, and then you leave. And both are really useful. What I've noticed is the click and pick up ones are usually cheaper, but they aren't cheaper if you don't have a means of getting there. But if you have a means of getting there, such as a family member or roommate that you carpool with, or if you're able to like stop there on your way home from work or church or whatever, that can save you a little bit of money compared to some of the other services that cost for membership. So places like Kroger and Walmart and HEB, I think Publix, several grocery stores have started offering the click and pickup option. And from what I've seen, they're pretty accessible. I have looked at the Kroger and HEB and Walmart pickups online. I know that Walmart does have an app, and I believe it's fully accessible, but I have not looked at it at this time. So that is an option. With the delivery options, Shipt and Instacart are, I would say, the biggest ones. And the way that those work is you can either pay for individual shipping orders. And so it might be like a flat fee of $10 for a delivery, or you can choose to join for a year and you pay a flat fee for that. And then you don't pay any additional kind of shipping fee for any time you put in an order. We have done that with, I've had both Instacart and Shipt. Both of them are accessible and they're pretty easy to use on your iPhone. And you can also use them online. They are accessible. They give you a way of viewing the groceries by section. So for example, you can kind of pretend you're walking down the aisles. You can pick that you want to look at snacks and cookies, and then it'll just give you a bunch of options. It'll say, these are the top most popular in your area. You know, double stuffed Oreos, Halloween Oreos, Chips Ahoy, Nestle Crunch, whatever. And so you can kind of browse that way in the sections and find some new foods, or you can go to the search bar and you can type in, you know, if you were looking for, you know, chicken breast, you could just type in chicken breast and it would bring you up several different options. It'd bring you, you know, family sized Tyson, or it would bring up frozen chicken strips, or just any kind of thing that would match the search phrase of chicken breast. So you can also do things like save your favorites, and you can even swipe the barcode of a grocery item. Maybe you already have your favorite type of Campbell's soup at home. You can use Shipt or Instacart app to swipe that barcode and then be able to locate it that way. But they do cost a fee to join. I prefer Shipt. Instacart, it seemed like you would join their, and you know, you'd pay their annual rate, but they'd still charge you some kind of shipping fee. So I was kind of like, well, why am I joining this if they're still going to charge me a fee? So we switched over to Shipt, and that's S-H-I-P-T. Also, I felt that Shipt was better about communicating with me. Once you place your order, it gives you the option of picking a delivery time frame. So, you know, you could put an order in today and maybe say, you know, I want this order to arrive between 7 and 8 p.m. Or you could say, I don't need it today. Let me get it, you know, tomorrow by 10 to 11 a.m. And then once your shopper starts working on your order, you get a notification to your phone and you can actually text with them or give them a call and they will tell you like, hey, they don't have the Halloween Oreos. Do you want double stuffed Oreos? So you're able to communicate with them that way. There's a lot of different mishaps that can happen since you're not there and you're not touching the groceries, right? It's kind of like having somebody else just be completely responsible for it. So I've had some funny things happen, like they've made weird replacements without asking, like, you know, replacing maybe like leeks, maybe they just got onions instead. You can also tell them, don't do that. Don't replace it. You need to ask me before you replace it. And that can help with some of those misunderstandings and mishaps. But that's a very useful service if you need it. It is going to mark up the cost of your groceries, not just for the shipping, but they also add a percentage to the groceries themselves that makes them more expensive. So just be aware of that if you're on a budget, that you may want to really look through that and see if it's better for you to do a delivery service or to go in person. And you can find shoppers to help you either in the store, or you can, you know, get a friend or family member, coworker, volunteer, somebody that you're comfortable with. I've paid people to be drivers and readers for me. I didn't know what a reader was until I got some blindness skills training, and they explained it that, oh, or, you know, a reader is somebody that you pay or have help you that will do things like read your mail, help you do your grocery shopping, and read you what the packages say. And I'm like, oh, I've been doing that all these years with my family and did not know that was a thing. Okay, so that's what a reader is. And I've usually paid maybe like 10 bucks an hour, or sometimes set up just like a flat rate of, you just have to work kind of with your person to see if they might volunteer or if you could set up sort of a payment. And I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about shopping for just other kinds of things. So the same applies, I would suggest, if you're able to, when you're shopping. I think it's always really nice to go into the store and check out the items, get your hands on them, you know, go and check out the clothing if you can. When I go to a clothing store, I might have an idea of what I need, or I might have a certain price range that I'm kind of looking for. But when I go into a clothing store, I always like to ask them, like, hey, what are the new things for this season? What's really popular? You know, can you tell me about some of the color schemes? Like, what kind of fall colors are we going into? What's the most popular? Because I want to know those things. And that's what sighted folks have access to when they walk into the store, because they may be seeing the different signs with the models in clothing, and they may be looking at the window displays and the mannequins. So I like to know that information. With clothing shopping, you can get a rapport with some of the folks that work in the store, and you might ask for the same person to help you. You might, you know, like, hey, what's your name? And she might say Christy or whatever. And like, oh, hi, I'm Liz. Great to meet you. And then if you have a good experience with Christy, you might say, like, I need to come back and do shopping. When do you usually work? And like, what are your usual hours? And she might tell you, you know, just weekends. So you could kind of arrange to come back and ask for her specifically if you liked working with her and she had an idea of your taste. And then as far as other things like electronics, I'll do online and I'll do them in store. If I'm buying an expensive new electronic, such as a laptop, I really like to go in and check it out, you know, in person to kind of see it. With things like electronics, you can go to Best Buy or the Apple Store, or if it's a phone, you can go to AT&T and you can tell them, like, hey, I'm looking at buying a new iPad. What do you have? Or, you know, do you have any other tablet options that might be close to an iPad in this price range? And you can tell them to help you turn on the accessibility features like VoiceOver or TalkBack so that you can interact with it. They don't usually know a lot about those things. Like, they wouldn't be able to tell you how to navigate VoiceOver, but I've noticed they're usually informed enough to know how to at least turn it on for you so that you can check it out. As for shopping for other things aside from groceries online, I really enjoy shopping on Amazon. I primarily use my mobile phone to look at the Amazon app. You can, of course, also look at it on your computer, and you can even talk to your Amazon Echo speaker if you have a Dot or one of the other devices. What I like about Amazon is the reviews. So when I am online shopping for something, I like to get as much information about it as possible because, again, I'm not able to touch it. So when I look at a listed item on Amazon, I read what the manufacturer description is. It might have the specific measurements. It might have different color or finish options. If it's an electronic, it'll tell you the different specs. You know, it might tell you, you know, this computer has such and such USB ports and this much RAM and all that information that you need. But then what I think is very important is to read through the comments, because you get so much information from customer feedback comments. You know, if you're looking at clothing, for example, I'll always look at the comments and they might say, hey, you know, get this a size up. This runs pretty tight. Or they might say, like, you know, this USB splitter, it worked pretty well for a month. After that month, it crudded out. It wouldn't work anymore. And if you see a lot of people say that, you know, steer clear of it. go look for another item that's similar. Amazon and a lot of other websites now will also show you different items that they think you might be interested in that are similar to the thing that you searched for. You know, be it clothes or electronics or health food or whatever. Another thing that I like for shopping, and this is going to make me sound like old school, I realize it. I absolutely love HSN and QVC. I like their websites and I like their TV shows. You know, I don't just sit and watch HSN. Well, I do a little bit, I'll go ahead and admit, but it's not something that I just have on every day all the time. But with the website, especially if you go to, you know, HSN or QVC, and let's say like I was looking for a shop vac just recently. And so I just went there and typed in shop vac, and they show you what they have. You can look at, you know, the brand that I was looking at was a Shark, which I know is a very nice name brand. You go into it. It has a bit of a description about it. It has the price breakdown. It shows you customer reviews, like I was telling you about. So you can get some information that way. But it also has video presentations that they've done for their television channel. And the video descriptions that both QVC and HSN do are pretty detailed. Like they're very vocal. And so if it's something that's colorful, like a piece of clothing, for example, they will break it down and say, okay, this comes in black. This comes in black floral, which has pretty blue and pink and yellow. This also comes in wine, which is a deep berry red. You know, so they'll give you a good bit of information and they'll demonstrate the item. If it's like the vacuum cleaner or tablet, they'll show you how to use it. And it gives you a bit more information, I think, in a non-visual sort of way, which is important. And one more thing with online shopping, you know, don't be afraid to ask for other people's opinions. I find things that I'm interested in, and I go through all of my first steps of reading the manufacturer info, reading the reviews, reading as much as I can. And then if I still don't know, I might text it to my sister or to a friend or show my husband and say, hey, what do you think of this? Does this look like something good? You know, and I might have a sighted person look at it, or I might have other blind friends who I ask about it. You know, I've got some really techie blind friends. And so when I needed I got a new MacBook recently through work, and I needed a splitter to be able to make it have additional USB ports on it, because it only came with a micro USB port. And so I looked at Amazon, and it was a little bit overwhelming. And so I just texted a really techie blind friend of mine and said, hey, what would you suggest? And he sent me a link on Amazon, and I just went with that referral. So lots of ways to accomplish shopping, both from your home and in person, you know, with family members and without family members, with people in the store to help you, and sometimes even without them. So you can definitely accomplish it. You can buy the things that you need and that you want and feel confident about it by implementing some of those different types of techniques. So did we have any questions? I hope this has been useful info for you. Or did anybody want to share any fun shopping stuff that they've done or funny mishaps?
Okay, if you have questions now, please, if you know how, raise your hand. On the phone, it's *9, of course, and on the computer, what is it, *Alt-1 or something like that? Anyway, if you can't, unmute and say your name. We'll try to get your questions answered.
Shelly Koppel?
Yes, Shelly.
Hi, Shelly.
Hey, girl after my own heart. I love QVC as yes. well, and I do the same thing. I've learned some of the companies that are on there, like Denim & Company, and mm-hmm. a few of them that I really like, and I've learned their sizing, and they are very descriptive, and I think they're very helpful too. If you call in, the people seem to be pretty verbal about what they're describing, so that was pretty fun. I liked your presentation. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. That's a really good point. Once you learn your clothing size and some of the color palettes in a particular right. store, they'll use those same kinds of color families. And a lot of times it'll be the same. Like it's good to measure yourself if you have someone who can help you read a traditional tape measure, or if you have a tactile tape measure, it's good to actually measure yourself for clothing, especially if you're buying online.
Anyone else? Any other comments, questions? So
Patricia Jenkins has her hand up.
Okay, Patricia, let's go. If you can get unmuted.
Hi, I'm unmuted.
Hi. Yes, come on.
I totally agree with what she was saying about making an appointment, because I have made an appointment at department stores, and mm-hmm. I call ahead and they tell me what time to come, and they will help me with my shopping. Because I noticed, I don't know anywhere else, but here in South Carolina, I noticed that they do not have very many of those department store people that will walk around with you and help you pick out something. So I made an appointment for one of the ladies to help me with the shopping. And I call her early in the morning before they really get started.
Yes, that's super helpful. And rules might have changed a little with COVID. I think they've mostly gone back to normal, but I know some stores, they were wanting you to kind of do by appointment only. And then a lot of stores have where you can make a kind of a consultation appointment just already, like Nordstrom and David's Bridal and Loft. They already have that available. So, you know, definitely take advantage of that and kind of set up your appointment, and then you can get some more one-on-one time with somebody, and you can ask for them by name if you know someone that you like.
Liz was talking about using your hands in the store, and I'll tell you, I like to go to hardware stores, and I can just spend the whole afternoon checking out all the kinds of gadgets and goodies and tools and everything, and I almost always buy a bag full of them and bring them home, put them on a shelf, and I'm very proud to have them, and I rarely use them.
You do all kinds of cool at-home stuff. I bet you use them pretty well.
only when my wife just absolutely insists that I repair something. Do we have other questions, comments? Liz did such a good job. I don't know, but if you have some questions, she'll be glad to.
My name is Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Jerry McGinty, and I'm another New Jerseyan. I want to know. I wanted to order some things last night, and Alexa, she just added a lot of things on my list that I did not want.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, and this isn't the first, she does this a lot, and it's frustrating because you don't want to just place your order, you know, like click on it, because you know, you might be buying all this stuff that and didn't get what you wanted. And that was the thing, is that was a few things she didn't put on, she put some other things on. So what's an easy way to make sure that the thing you at the time, right at the time, because you know, you click and you tell her, and then you click on that, you think it's in, mm-hmm. and it isn't. Or if it does come up on the list, it's not there when it's time to pay. I don't know if anyone else has that problem, but it's making it difficult for me. Might be just that I don't need to be spending so much money.
Well, maybe she's saving you from yourself. I wish she'd help me with that.
That might
well,
be it.
I'll tell you, I don't shop directly off the speaker a ton. I guess I would say I kind of browse with her more than purchase, if that makes sense. What I do shop for a lot of the times is things that I've already ordered. And so, like, for example, I have these Enjoy Life cocoa bars that I like. And so I will tell her, "A lady, reorder Enjoy Life cocoa bars." Yeah. And so she said, "Okay, based on your last order of cocoa bars, would you like this item?" And I say, "Yes." And so that has helped me to kind of order things that I've ordered previously because I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I guess the only other suggestion it sounds like you're already doing is just make sure that you're looking at what she's placed in the cart before you finalize it. I think you can even ask her to repeat what is in the cart currently. You can definitely then look at the app or your computer.
Yeah.
And check it that way. And, you know, if for those of you who are afraid of ordering things accidentally or having grandchildren or somebody, some hoodlums order things off of yours, you can turn that feature off altogether. So you don't even have to have that on your speaker if you would prefer. Right. But yeah, I guess just maybe look at your cart in more detail before you check out, which is what it sounds like you're doing. I can't say that I've had her put things I haven't asked for in my cart before, but I'm, you know, always something to look out for.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot on the list for some reason. Some of the things that you ordered before will show back up on your list and, you know, it along with the things you are ordering, it'll be some things and it's like, oh man. But I have to say that QVC and HSN, good buddies.
Yes. Good
buddies. You know, because I can go right there and look at exactly what's happening. I can get full details on it and I'm good to go. So
well, if you want to part with your money even faster, you can ask the ecosystem for their daily deals. And after they announce each deal and give you a little description, they're going to ask you, would you like to purchase it? And if you say yes, of course, they'll take you to the checkout. And they have about 15 or 20 deals every day.
Yeah.
This is Judy. The other thing you can do is have them tell you your things one at a time, and they'll say, do you want it? You say yes or no. But you can also call them. They do have customer service, and maybe they can help you straighten out your order.
We have three hands up, and the first hand is Vincent.
And I have a question too.
Okay. Let's go with the hands, and then we won't forget you. Okay, Vincent, if you're able to unmute yourself.
Yes. Hi, this is Vincent. A couple of things on grocery shopping. One thing to find out if you don't want to get old products is never buy anything that is on sale. Anything that is on sale is ready to spoil and usually will only last a couple of days before you either eat them or throw them out. So many times what I have found out, I don't buy by price. I go more by quality of the products. And yes, I use, you know, touching or even smelling whatever it is in the case of fruits and vegetables. That helps me make better choices. As far as shopping for, you know, clothing and the like, I have found out also that depending on the manufacturer, or not even the manufacturer, depending on where the item was made, sizes may vary. I have found out that I'm a 34 in the 34-30 or whatever it is. I'm a 33-29 in others. I'm a 32-30 in others. So I have opted when I go for the, you know, that type of store, I'd rather, you know, go there in person and try things. Well, nowadays, try them on and see if they actually fit or not. And the third one is that we stopped doing it. I couldn't get it last year. I didn't do it this year either. But what I used to do was to order from organic farmers. So the only thing is that you get 3 months supply and you can choose either individual or family, I believe it's called. But even the individual portions, you know, used to get about, 20, 30 pounds of vegetables. And they were outstanding. But for the most part, I had to find out what on earth they were because I didn't even know what they were. So I had to try, you know, different types of, you know, eating them, tasting them first, and then maybe cooking some of them and the like. But that was, for the most part, they were incredible experiences. And the variety of squashes that I tasted, many of them I hadn't tasted before, and they were a very, very pleasant surprise. So I enjoyed that. I don't do much online shopping. I had some experiences with Whole Foods. And again, the same thing that the lady was describing before, where I got items that I'm pretty sure I didn't order, or maybe I had ordered and I thought I had canceled. And when the packages came in, surprise, surprise.
Right.
But anyway, that's my experience.
Let me add something to my kind of discussion on the online ordering. It's also really good to know what the store's return policy is. Because like I ordered through Old Navy just recently, and I was pretty certain that I knew the size that I needed, but I did look and they said that you can, you know, return to a store near you, even if you didn't buy it from the store, or that you could ship it back and return it. And, you know, with Amazon, sometimes there's drop off locations nearby like Kohl's. With things like HSN and QVC, they come with the packing slip to return it. So if you do online shopping, it's good to check out what the return policy is if you need to do that.
Okay. Joe Triplett has his hand up, and next will be Alice.
Okay. Here in the Inglewood area where I live in Colorado, when you order something like from the store, you have to do it online. There's not any way at all. I'm just a computer user, okay? I'm not swift in ordering online. I wish what they would have here is, like you say, you could call King Soopers. That's our Kroger's grocery store here. I wish we could just call them and do an order on the phone, but you really can't do that. You know, like here, is anybody experiencing the same thing? And like if you want to order, say, from Village Inn, the only way you can do it is online. They have one service that you could use the phone, but they charge you $10 or more, depending on how big the order is. So is anybody else having that kind of problem? Thank you.
I believe HEB had at one point, HEB is a Texas grocery chain. I believe they had where you could call and speak to them and they would like place the Instacart order with you on the telephone. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some programs like that at some of these other real, like other stores. I don't know for a fact. Another thing that you could do is if you have a family member or friend or IRA service, you can do it that way. I've done that many, many times where, you know, I'm the one paying for it and I have the account and it's shipping to me, but I have, you know, a family member or friend or IRA go through it with me to place the online order. So that could be an option.
Could you use Be My Eyes also? Because I'm hooked up with Be My Eyes.
I'm not sure if I would, because I don't know that I would trust giving them my personal information. Even if it was just the login information, right. I don't think I would do that, but you would need to, you know, I definitely, with Be My Eyes, I do use them, but I never use them for anything where I'm showing like mail that would have my address or credit card number or, a passworded, you know, shopping page for myself. So,
right.
I wouldn't recommend it just because you never really know who it is with Be My Eyes. I do mention IRA. I do trust them with those things because they're paid. And so there is a higher threshold of training and security that's involved, but some folks may not even feel comfortable with that, you know, and that's their decision as well.
Yeah. I know there's places like Pizza Hut, your pizza places are real good about, you know, delivering as far as restaurants, but Domino's, we have a service here called DoorDash. You're probably familiar with that, but again, you can only order online. And that's what I mean. I wish I could order from a restaurant, like, you know, from the phone, you know, without being charged $10 or even more sometimes. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, Alice.
Dana Ard had her had.
I thought you said Alice. Okay, Dana, let's go.
I think Alice is next, though. I think Alice is next.
I think Alice already went.
No, she hasn't.
Okay.
Okay, Alice, let's go.
Oh no, now I'm muted.
Okay, Dana.
Wait a minute. It's a, okay, hello. Just a minute, please, y'all. You know, when I'm unmuted for a long period of time and I don't speak, it'll mute again, and then I have to unmute it, so it takes me some time. Thank you very much. I have three things now. What does IRA stand for?
Sure. So it's spelled A-I-R-A. It's a paid service that you can use your smartphone, and you are connected with a live trained agent, and they are looking through your phone's camera, and so they can see whatever you are looking at. So, you know, you could have a piece of mail in front of it. You could have your computer screen. You could have your shopping cart. But they can also do things like go on a website with you and help you shop that way. And they can see where you're at on GPS. So they kind of like a concierge service in some regards.
They can take you
so
to
is
the
this an application.
It is.
So
it's
is this
a it's
application
a,
that I would have to get and download.
Correct. Yes.
Through the App Store.
Yep.
Okay, two other things. So when you mentioned that both having to do with grocery shopping, you mentioned the company called Shipt.
Mm-hmm.
But when you spelled it S-H-I-P-P. Is there, did you purposefully leave out the E-D or it doesn't include the E-D?
It does not include it. They were, I guess they were trying to be clever. So it's S-H-I-P-T as in Tom.
Tom, okay, all right. The other question, this is the main one, the reason why I want to ask, is when it comes to in-person shopping for the grocery store, do you have any strategies for ensuring that you do not select items that have already been expired, like milk and soda products and butter? Usually they have a date on it. And being that I'm blind now, I'm unable to decide or determine what that date is. So do you have any strategies to use to ensure that you get something that's fresh?
Sure. I would just ask if you have a customer service person that's helping you or whomever, I would just ask them, like, can you tell me when this milk expires? I think also with things like milk, if you reach toward the back, I can't recall if it's to the, I want to say the ones to the back or the newer ones. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I think sometimes that's the case. And then as Vincent, I believe it was mentioned, things that are on sale, that often is because they're trying to get rid of it because it's about to spoil. So, but I would just make sure to ask, you know, whoever you're shopping with, like, hey, could you tell me the expiration?
Okay.
And, you know, that's too soon. Let's find another one. So.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Dana Ard?
I just wondered if shopping, trying to do Amazon on, is easier doing it on a smartphone or on computer. I haven't had real good luck with the computer, but
I think it's easier on the app. I used to always do it on the computer, but it's, I don't know. They've just, it seems kind of cluttered now. So I usually do it on my smartphone.
Okay. Thanks. This is Judy. I don't know whether they'll do orders with you, but Amazon has a disability line. And sometimes that can be very handy if you're trying to do something and it doesn't seem accessible or you can't make it work. They're very helpful.
I think they can do orders with you. I want to say I have never tried it, but I believe they will.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go.
Okay. Dana, you have your hand up again. Did you have?
No, I was trying to put my hand down.
Okay. I'll lower your hand for you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Other questions? Judy, how much time do we have?
it's 4:56.
Okay, so we have just a few moments if anybody has a question to get in.
Would anyone like the Amazon phone number? The disability line? Do you want me to?
Just give it out. Give it out.
All right, give it out. What? 888-280-4331.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
If we have no other questions, I want to thank you, Liz, for coming and sharing. And I know that you are an astute shopper and that you can get those things you want. And I appreciate your suggestions. So, Judy, with that, I'll hand it back to you.
All right. Thank you. We can end the recording. Ellen?